You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
You could run a fucking pet Brock against Donald Trump, and I would vote for the pet Brock.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right, ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held. Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen the lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to Sarah Talk. I am Sarah Austin. It is March 31st, 2018. You know what that means?
I know what that means.
What does that mean?
It means a whole lot of shit going on.
Today is Transgender Day of Visibility.
Yes.
I almost forgot to write it down. Like at the last minute, I was like, that's a thing I should talk about.
That's probably something good to talk about.
Yeah. So I don't know that there's any like events, like official, like formal things that happen. It's just about like being visible,
right?
Like going out and doing the everyday things that we do every day and saying, hey, look,
here I am.
Yeah. And you're not going to put me back in the closet and get used to it.
We should make an event though out of it. We should be like, everybody go to Target and use the bathroom. Yeah.
That would be great.
It would be.
But Target would be like, welcome.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, come on in.
That's the point.
Yeah. What else did I say we should talk? Oh, the Facebook thing? Is that the other thing we were going to talk about?
Yeah, we were going
to
talk about Facebook.
So we sat down in here to... also, can we please just take a moment to note that my hair is down?
I was thinking that.
For the first time in ever.
In ever.
Yeah. Much to my sister's disappointment, I do still rock the headband tonight. But that's just to keep it like...
Yeah.
Out of my
Sometimes
headphones.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
And thank you, of course, to Michael for for being amazing and taking care of my hair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this Facebook thing, we sat down here an hour ago to prepare, get everything ready, and you said,
"Hey, have you seen this thing floating around Facebook? People are sharing that says that Facebook has you labeled as either." Very liberal, moderate, conservative, or very conservative.
And I said, no, I've never heard of such a thing. What are you talking about? Like, I know you can go in and say, these are my political views. These are my religious views.
This is something completely different. This is Facebook has decided based on your posts and your likes and news articles, and I guess and things that you've clicked on.
Yes.
They've figured out an algorithm.
Here's what it says. The categories in this section help advertisers reach people who are most likely to be interested in their products, services, and causes. We've added you to these categories based on information you've provided on Facebook and other activity. So tell us how to get there if the kids would like to play at home.
If you want to play at home, hold on. You go into settings, and then if you're on your phone, you're going to hit the little thing that says...
Account settings?
Like go into your account and then you're going to look for settings and then you're going to look for account settings.
Right. If you're doing it on the PC,
you go to settings
and then click ads.
Yeah. Okay. So once you get into account settings, you go down and it's right under apps. It says ads and it's a little Facebook icon.
Yeah.
And then once you're in there, you're going to go down and it says your information. There's a little green circle with a profile type picture.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to,
and it has other things too.
Yeah, there's all kinds
like
of things.
Your
in there.
Interests, but that's like that stuff is based on
that's
like
stuff that you've put in.
Yeah, right.
Now you wanna
and
go...
this sort of is too.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Let me give you an example of what some of mine are: parents with early school age children, parents with toddlers.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's really tracking my posts.
Yeah, it really
right?
is.
away from family.
Uh-huh.
It knows that I don't live near
That's
my family.
That's creepy to me. Like
U.S. politics, very liberal. Really? You're kidding? Of course it is.
Okay.
Facebook access mobile, browser, devices, commuters. I get into the commuter.
You probably linked it to your GPS.
You probably.
Well, that's the other thing with the smartphone age now. You download an app and it says, would you like to log in through Facebook?
Right.
And that's just so much easier than creating a whole new login for
I created a new classmates.com account using Facebook tonight because I was doing research for a story that's coming up in the second half of the show.
Okay.
Away from hometown. Now, it'll know that because I list my hometown as Bethany,
and
Illinois, into my current
residence.
Birthday in May, I told it that.
Sure.
It knows that I connect on 4G wireless network.
That's insane.
It knows that I use a tablet. It knows that I use Safari browser. It knows that I'm on Windows 10. Knows that I own an iPhone 7. I am a console gamer, I guess. Yeah. Or my kid is. engaged shoppers. Interesting. Okay.
You have an Amazon account that you've ordered from on your phone, probably.
Yeah, probably. owns an iPad mini too. Yep, sure enough I do. That's a lot of
all right, so back to how to get there, kids.
You just said it.
No, I didn't finish.
You did. Go ahead.
I said go to your information. There's still one more click.
Oh my god. Okay.
You have to look for the thing that says your categories. Sarah jumped ahead.
Whatever.
Once you click into your categories, it says review and manage your categories. That's how you're gonna find it.
Here's the point of the whole thing. Delete your Facebook. No, wait, don't, because you're watching us on Facebook.
No, don't delete it. Oh, my God.
But no, like when they, you know, when this whole, the scandal broke about, you know, you went on a thing that was like, which Golden Girl am I? Mm. And they took your information and like, and like out to your friends.
Sure.
And took all of that data and like sold it to the Russians.
Use
that information to influence the election.
So freaking
anyway. Okay. I have a lot of stuff here, so let's just dig right in. Oh no, wait, before we dig right in. I did want to share a bit of a programming announcement. So we have added some new stuff to our Patreon for those of you who are patrons, or who are interested in being patrons. Patreon is how we support the show. All of this stuff costs a lot of money. We go to different events throughout the year and set up our gear, take the studio with us, talk to people, do some interviews, that sort of thing, get out in the community. We would like to obviously be doing more like charitable work. And so that's the money stream that takes care of our program here is Patreon, patreon.com/Saratalk. We have added to the $10 and up per episode level. I had been posting the videos to YouTube where we don't really have much of a presence. I don't really promote. I don't push it real hard. And I was just like, we'll throw them on YouTube and maybe somebody will watch them. But I thought it would be much, much better to use those as a as a reward, as a sort of gift for the folks who support us on Patreon. So if you support us on Patreon at the $10 per episode level or higher, $10 is the highest one I have set, but you can set whatever amount you'd like, you will get access to the archive video of the Facebook live chat that we're doing right now when we do the Facebook live show. So if you're new to the pod, what happens is we do the show every Saturday night, and after the show tonight, I will disable the video on Facebook so that the patrons who were not able to tune in live get the first listen. They get the episode first.
Right.
So I put the episode on Patreon first. A day later or so, it goes live to the world publicly. But what I'm going to do now is I'm also going to post the video to Patreon, and that will be visible at the $10 per episode level and higher. So head over to patreon.com/Saratalk if that's something that you would be interested in. helping us out. You're feverishly typing over there. What's going on?
Dan cannot post in the comment sections of the video.
Oh.
You can only post on the outside, which is sad.
It is indeed.
And so.
Anyway, I don't know what's going on. So tonight we have some updates to some stories that we've talked about previously. So we're going to go through those. The first segment of the show is going to be some sort of callbacks to various gun violence topics. The second half of the show, we have some religion conversation. And as part of that, we're going to start a new hometown, Sarah's hometown feature segment, something or other. There's a story about my podunk hometown. It's like making the news.
Crazy news.
What? So...
yeah, I read that. I was like, did I just read that right?
Right. What? Yeah, absolutely crazy. So let's start off with an update to a story. Let's go all the way back to episode 92.
Yeah.
Right.
That's like 12 episodes ago or something.
Yes. We talked about the newly released information regarding Noor Salman at the time, who is the Pulse shooter's wife. And at the time, we were talking about, you know, what did she know? What didn't she know? That sort of thing, like as far as how involved was she in this shooting? And I think we had a pretty clear picture that she knew that her husband was going to shoot something up, right? She talked about, you know, casing the place. Like they went to a Disney property and had driven around. And, you know, she had told FBI investigators at the time that she believed that they were, you know, they were scouting locations for him to do this mm-hmm. bad thing. But this is Florida. Home of George Zimmerman, Casey Anthony, mm-hmm. and now this week, Noor Salman was acquitted of providing material support to a foreign terrorist organization and of obstruction of justice in connection with her husband's 2016 rampage. In her court case, she was acquitted this week. During early questioning, she said in several statements to the FBI that the shooter, Mateen, watched jihadi beheading videos, purchased a rifle and ammunition, and went to a gun range to practice. This, she knew. A major part of the defense was to paint Salman as a victim, pointing to Omar Mateen's abusiveness and infidelity. And they talked about her below-average IQ as a reason why, like, she's too stupid to have been able to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. There's no way she could have connected these dots. She's an idiot. She has a low IQ. And the case was almost dismissed when new information came out that the shooter's father was an FBI informant who was under criminal investigation. The prosecution says they would have changed their approach had they known that information. And a lot of people in my social circles are like super pissed off.
Yeah.
Right? They feel like justice hasn't been fairly served. Many survivors understandably still haven't had much closure. Right? Understand that. But legally speaking, I've listened to enough opening arguments, I think, to make this distinction. She was in court on charges of, quote, providing material support to a foreign terrorist organization and of obstruction of justice. So the question wasn't really like, did she know? It was, did she help him? Or right. or more specifically, like, did she help ISIS? And that's splitting hairs. It really is. But that's the legal system.
So stupid.
Right? And you could very easily argue, like, if the question is, did she provide support to a terrorist organization or obstruct justice by knowing and doing nothing? Does that meet the criteria? If she knew it was going to happen, but did right. nothing, did reported it to no one, did nothing to try to stop it, nothing to notify anybody, does that meet the threshold? And to this jury, the answer was no.
Maybe she didn't. Maybe they pursued the wrong charges. That says more about how crappy our justice system is. I mean, seriously?
Right.
She knew. There's, yeah. The blood is on her hands. So this whole thing just makes me so angry. I don't understand. I was mad when it first surfaced that she knew and she said nothing. How can you be any kind of decent?
Right.
And not say something.
Yeah. I don't know. And you know, this makes me think of like when we talk about the death penalty and the industrial prison complex and all of the problems that our system has after the judicial sentence is handed out, she's going to live with this stuff in her head. And that's, I think, like, all of the city leaders came out, like, everybody was all over this story when the ruling was made public, saying like, look, I understand you don't feel justice has been served. I understand that you're trying to find closure and you're still hurting, but like, don't let this be another thing that divides us.
Right.
Right. The one thing that Orlando did right after this thing was that we all just came together.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a projection that we put out into the world.
Right.
That this is who we are.
Right.
You know? And so that was the kind of the call to action after this judgment came down. Like, look, I get it, but.
I think, people are mad. People are angry. They're angry. People are going to have disagreements on it. I mean, there's people, and this scared me. There's people saying now, like, what's to stop her from not going and doing something? Now she's free to do whatever she wants.
Hmm.
You know? Who's to stop her from carrying out an attack in his honor or what? You know what I mean? Like, if she's that loyal to him, that she would keep her mouth shut. Like, how do we know she's not just as screwed up? I don't know. It's scary. It's just really scary.
Yep. Another update. This one about a story we discussed last week about the Maryland teen who fatally shot a fellow classmate and seriously injured another before being engaged by the school's resource officer. Remember this story? According to the sheriff's office, Rollins entered the main entrance of the school about 5 minutes before he shot 16-year-old Jalen Willie, with whom he'd been involved in a relationship that recently ended. Shot her in the head with his father's gun. The same bullet traveled into the leg of Desmond Barnes, who took shelter in a classroom. Rollins then turned a corner, passing several classrooms before being confronted by the school resource officer about 3 minutes after the shooting. And you remember the initial reports were like, so the deputy first class, Blaine Gaskell, confronted this 17-year-old shooter, Austin Rollins, and when we reported on this last week, when we talked about it, at the time, the various news reports about it were not very clear. Some of them said the officer shot the kid. Some said they exchanged fire. Some made it sound like maybe the kid killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, authorities now say evidence indicates Rollins fired one fatal shot to his own head. Simultaneously, DFC Gaskell also fired one non-fatal shot, which struck the weapon in this kid's hand.
Okay.
But of course, before any official statements were made, the NRA and its political allies started touting this good guy with a gun nonsense.
Of course they did.
All over the internet, right?
Jerks.
See, if it wasn't for the resource officer.
Yeah.
Except that this kid didn't come come in hoping to shoot up the school. Like, this wasn't...
Yeah. This was an isolated...
This was a personal...
Yeah.
A targeted act.
Yeah.
And now, the evidence shows the good guy with a gun...
Didn't even...
wasn't part of it. This guy, his kid took his own life.
Oh, man.
So I wanted to follow up on that. This story is a lot closer to home. We're going to have to stop typing here. Is there anything exciting going on in the chat before I get into this one? Because this one I'm going to have to focus on.
No, I'm trying to help Dan figure out his
thing,
but I'm having problems too. Like, I don't know. It's so weird. I don't understand.
No, I think there's something going on maybe with his account because I can't reply to him at all. But we're not going to talk about...
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, that's fine. Other than that, there's nothing going on.
So, a 13-year-old boy was found passed out drunk last weekend in Davenport, Florida.
Oh.
Which is actually where we lived for a while.
Mm-hmm.
What, about 5 years we lived? Mm-hmm. Lived in Davenport? It's like a half hour southwest of Orlando or so. It's suburbia, basically. Some rural areas, but the developed area is basically the suburbs. Polk County Sheriff's Office said this boy was found passed out drunk early Saturday and was taken into custody under the Baker Act and was transported to local hospital. He told deputies that he drank an entire bottle of liquor from his parents' liquor cabinet and took a bunch of happy pills. This led investigators to discover that the 13-year-old was hoping to be the next school shooter. They found images of the Parkland shooter and a picture of the Columbine shooting on the boy's PlayStation. And in interviews with other teens, they learned that the boy threatened to take a knife to school and to kill a teen who attends the same Osceola County school. The boy also made the following statements to deputies. He wanted to die and see God. He wanted to shoot up Westside K-8 school in Osceola County, where he had attended, because he wanted to be the next school shooter. He wanted to kill a lot of kids. He wanted to kill different kids because they snitched on him and got him expelled from Westside K-8. He buried a handgun in his neighbor's backyard because he didn't want his mother to know he had one, though the sheriff's department says no gun was found. He was arrested on felony charges of aggravated stalking. Apparently, he'd been expelled in February for making similar statements, and at that time taken in for evaluation under the Baker Act at that time, too. But here's where we let these kids down. You take them in on the Baker Act, and they're observed for, what, 48 hours?
Is it 48?
This is 4 days, maybe. Two or 3 days. I don't, it's not long.
I think it's like, it's 72 hours, I think.
72.
I'm pretty sure.
And as long as at the end of that, like through that process, as long as you can basically prove that, like, I'm not going to harm myself or I'm not going to harm others, then they let you go.
Yeah.
Here's your shoelaces back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
have a nice day.
Exactly.
And then what? Then nothing. Where are the adults in this story? Is there a parent? Is there a guardian? A lawyer representing the team talked about how he was bullied. Fine. Who's providing the mental health treatment to help him deal with this in a productive and safe way? Nobody. We do nothing. And then we wonder why.
That one really bothered me.
Yeah.
Like, in our backyard.
I mean, it's right down the road.
In that kid went to the same type of school that our son goes to.
Mm-hmm.
K to 12. Like, and this isn't a high school
K-8.
Kid. K, what?
K-8.
K to 8. K, yeah.
Yeah.
K K to 12, whatever.
K to 12 would have been high school.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's like it's not high school. We're not talking about high school.
Right.
We're talking about
middle school.
Middle schoolers. Is, you know.
Yeah, grade school, middle school.
11, 12 year olds.
Jesus Christ.
13 at the highest, but right. not old, but those 13 year olds are making decisions that could affect the 5 year olds, the 6 year olds, the 7 year olds. Like
right. But the thing that pisses me off the most about this story, right, when we talked about Parkland. We started learning about that kid, and a lot of the same narrative keeps coming back. He was bullied. He was teased. He was the outsider, the outcast. Police had been called multiple times for various different things. But again, until a crime is committed, there is nothing they can do. In this case, the closest thing you can do is take him in under the Baker Act. But again, after a few days, as long as you can keep your shit together for a few days, then they let you go. And where we let people down, where this breaks, the break in the system is, you've got a Republican elected Congress and president who have no interest in expanding healthcare. They're the first ones to say guns aren't the problem, it's mental health. They're the first ones to take away healthcare.
Yeah.
That's why Facebook has me tagged as a very, very, very liberal person. Jesus Christ. Autumn says 72 hours. Thank you, Autumn.
Yeah.
All right. I want to wrap this week's Focus on the Firearms segment with a recent story about the National Rifle Association. I found this story interesting because I think people hear a lot of, like people are speaking out against the NRA specifically, and these kids, right, in Parkland, they are like David and Goliath against the NRA.
Yeah, and the NRA is much more... uncomfortable than they want anybody to believe.
But I think like some people don't buy into this idea that the NRA is, you know, is the problem or that they own politicians. I mean, I was skeptical in the same way that I'm skeptical about like, oh, big pharma, right? Or, oh, the scary companies that are out to, you know, in the same way, I'm skeptical that, oh, the big scary NRA. Right?
Right.
Until I saw the campaign contributions. And then I was like, wait, how many gazillions of dollars did you give to Rubio? Okay. All right. Now, okay. Yes. Your problem.
Mm-hmm.
So the Orlando Sentinel published a piece last week that highlighted the NRA's response to the Parkland shooting. Immediately after the shooting, the NRA froze all of its digital ads. 4 days later, they were back with an increase. The Sentinel reports they increased advertising aggressively on Facebook and were spending so widely and indiscriminately that its ads on YouTube showed up on videos for school-age kids. And these videos were mostly like trying to get people to join. Right, they're recruitment videos. Come be an NRA member, membership drive stuff.
Right.
Pathmatics, a company that collects data from online ads, says that the NRA spent more than six times as much on digital ads after the Parkland shooting than it did in the weeks before. Six times. Average daily spend was $11,300 in the 24 days prior to the shooting. $11,300 daily.
Right.
In the 24 days after they took their little four-day freeze, the following 24 days, the average shot up from $11,300 to $47,300.
That's disgusting.
Yep. Yes, it is. Here's a thought I had reading this. There's someone out there who works for the NRA in the advertising office, right? Who maybe created a policy or gives the order. Like this four-day radio silence thing. Like every time there's a shooting, do we have like this conference call and be like, ah, fuck, guys, there's another one. Like, they know. These right. people know.
Yeah.
They know they're part of the problem. If they're making the decision after each shooting, oh, all right, put the hold on that for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
4 days? Yeah, 4 days. Okay, that's good. They know. And you know they know.
So horrible.
Ugh.
Like,
Okay. When we come back, we're going to follow up on a 2016 story.
Ooh.
Way back in 2016 that we covered about the healing power of prayer.
Oh, yay.
God's auto insurance policy.
That'll be good.
And a Florida man. We'll do all of that and more after this. You're listening to Sarah Talk.
I was feeling so alone.
I'm glad I asked for help.
Whatever it is, ask for help.
If you're thinking about suicide or need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386.
Are you ready for your first card? As I look at the set I placed down for you, I see an interesting things rising. Some of it has to deal with love and money and changes, and hopefully they're going to be for the better. Now your first card represents your situation. Maybe some problems you've been having. Maybe a little bit about yourself. Your first card is sorrow. This card is letting us know that there is some type of disruption in your life. Not that it's a big deal, but this card is giving off a strange vibe of anxiety. Actually, this card is warming my hand. Oh, now caller, if you listen here, I'm seeing in the cards, the 45 of mangoes. The 45 of mangoes card says you're going to go onto Patreon and subscribe because there is nothing better than giving when receiving. What will you ask me? Find out now and I see for you. Call me now for a free tarot reading.
Hey, you, podcast listener.
Yeah. Hey, listen up.
Hey, shut up. I know you're looking for new things to binge.
And purge.
Gayish is about gay stereotypes. We've talked about depression, drag queens,
butt stuff,
fisting,
animals.
Fisting and animals are two different episodes, just to clarify.
You can find us on iTunes or wherever podcasts are given away for free. Tell your mom.
She's probably gay.
Want to join the conversation or tell Sarah she's wrong? Email producer at saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. Now, more Sarah Talk.
Okay, so apologies for the terrible view there on whatever.
It's colder to put it up against the...
So, yeah, so the reason why this isn't working, I can't change the thing around. Yes, I can. The reason why nothing is working right now is because the computer that runs our feed, it popped up some weird, stupid error, and I don't really know what it was about. It was, we use a program called XSplit Broadcaster to stream the show, and that software could stream to Facebook or YouTube or whatever we want to stream it to. We just happen to choose Facebook because it's easy to connect with people and have conversations
mm-hmm.
while it's working. When it's working, it's great. So there's some funky error popped up on the thing that said it couldn't connect to the XSplit server. So I don't know. We'll do it this way. I've got my phone patched into the board and hopefully you guys can hear us. Okay. And unfortunately you have to look at me and only me and from a bad angle. Okay. So
I can think of worse things to look at from a bad angle.
Name three.
Donald Trump, Donald Trump Jr., Kellyanne Conway.
Ah, very good. Well done. let's see. Has anybody rejoined us? Are you watching any of this? Garrett's on and Jamie's on. Okay. I got to get some of my people back. I had
we had a good thing going.
We did. It was so good.
And it all crashed.
So here's what I want to do because we're still recording and. Somehow I'm going to have to stitch this all together later. What?
Dan says, I wish I was there to help, but I cannot even figure out why I have restrictions to comments access with your account. I've not encountered anywhere else before. Dan, so just weird. Double check the people you've blocked. I know it would be weird, but like, I'm just at this point, look right? under every rock.
Right? And I swear, Dan, if you've blocked us. Like, it's so weird because, and we'll get back to stay there. Yeah. We'll get back in a minute. It's so weird because, like, you know, on Facebook, when you're scrolling through a thing and I can see Jamie and I can click on Jamie's name and it would take me to her profile. Yeah. And then I see Autumn and I can click on Autumn's name. When I see Dan, Dan's name is not a hyperlink. I cannot click on Dan's name. Yeah. It doesn't do anything. It's just so freaking weird.
Dan, you've broken the system.
You've broken the internet. It's okay. Right? You know what it is? Russians.
No, God. Nothing would surprise me. Yeah, so we'll keep trying to figure that out. And
yes, and in the meantime,
moving right along.
Yes, the laptop that runs the stream is still saying, getting Windows ready. Don't turn off your computer.
Well, and we just got a notification right before we started the show.
Let me tell you about this fucking computer.
But it's not going to support Windows anymore.
This thing, no. This thing is it's an HP laptop. I've owned many of those throughout the years. And we bought the thing and got it home and put Office on it. And by the way, the new Office, you can't single out which applications you want to keep and which ones you don't. Like, used to be you could go, okay, I need Word and Excel, but you can get rid of Access and all this other shit that nobody uses. Right. New version of Office, that's not a thing you can do. So suddenly we found, and we don't do anything on this, really, except for run the show.
Right, that's it.
It has no hard drive space left. It is, like, filled to capacity. And the only thing that's on there is Office.
Right, there's, like,
and
not
this,
even documents.
And
this
real
like,
small...
Like...
Yeah, I moved all of those to an external drive.
Yeah, there's nothing.
And no, there's nothing. And so so the only thing on there is the XSplit broadcaster.
And Office.
And Microsoft Office.
And we don't use Office.
And so now it's popping up, like... You need to update your Windows. Windows, your current version of Windows 10 is going to be obsolete after April 10th, and you're not going to be able to get safety updates and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what it's doing now, but if this is working, great.
You could get a really nice, headshot of yourself. Get Davina in here to get your headshots done.
Uh-huh.
And then you can just put a headshot in front of the phone when you have to...
Why don't we do this? Let's have another drink, shall we?
Sounds like you need one.
I do. Okay. Again, eventually, like, there's a long-term plan for a camera system that doesn't rely upon. Anyway. Patreon.com/
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, if you're new to the show, I grew up in a small hick town in rural Illinois. All right? Bethany, Illinois. Population, like, 1,400 or so.
You were going to say 14.
No, but no. Stay with me. I had a high school graduating class of 32. Not long after I graduated, financial tax crisis looming, our school district decided to merge with another farm town's school district, Findlay, to create the Oka Valley School District. In Bethany, there are 0 stoplights and 9 churches. In Findlay, the 2010 census had an impressive 723 residents.
Oh, wow. So
0 stoplights and 3 churches.
Hmm.
Findlay's where my grandparents went to church.
Mm.
The grandmother that was like, I sure wish you'd come back to church.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, you know, the, yeah.
Oh, she could see you now.
I know, right? And if you've ever spent any amount of time in any of these Midwest farm towns like this, the next story probably won't surprise you. Coaches of the Oka Valley High School basketball team have been participating in prayers with their students.
What?
I know. It's hard to believe. I know. The Freedom From Religion Foundation shared an image in their press release taken after a February Oka Valley High School basketball game at a private Christian school, which shows students in a prayer circle.
Did you know any of those kids in that prayer circle?
No.
Okay.
These are like current kids.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I mean, they probably kids of like people I went to school
maybe,
with.
Maybe. Probably you wouldn't have known them by
sight,
though.
Yeah, right. In this prayer circle with what appears to be at least 7 coaches, and which will probably be the graphic for this episode. So good. As we have discussed time and time again, it is illegal for public school athletic coaches to lead their teams in prayer, participate in student-led prayers, or to otherwise promote religion to students. Allow me to read from the Freedom from Religion Foundation's press release. And this is the part of the story that may surprise you. My little farm town caught the attention of the FFRF. Well done, Oka Valley.
Right?
This is crazy.
Done.
Yeah. Well done.
I couldn't believe it.
Jamie, who grew up with me, is not surprised.
No.
See how you feel about this. The Supreme Court has continually struck down school-sponsored prayer at public school events. Freedom from Religion Foundation staff attorney Ryan Jane wrote to Superintendent Kent Stotter. Public school coaches must refrain not only from leading prayers themselves, but also from participating in students' prayers. It is unconstitutional for public school employees to participate in the religious activities of their students. Federal courts have held that even a public school coach's silent participation in student prayer circles is unconstitutional. In Borden, the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals held that a high school football coach's involvement in prayer by taking a knee and bowing his head during prayers, even when student-led, would lead a reasonable observer to conclude he was endorsing religion. The court continued, citing a previous judgment that, quote, if while acting in their official capacities, school district employees join hands in a prayer circle or otherwise manifest approval and solidarity with the student religious exercises, they cross the line between respect for religion and the endorsement of religion. End quote. And I will link to that case, Borden, in the show notes. If you're a legal junkie and you want to read the court opinion in full, it's pretty interesting. I will link that in the show notes and you can take a look at that. Any of these cases that we talk about on here, I'm going to start doing that from now on just because it's interesting to see what the court, they go into a little more detail of, you know, what they were thinking. The story, the news stories that you read on, you know, in the paper, water it down. And then when we talk about it, it gets watered down even more. But reading the actual court documents, pretty interesting. Here's the thing, though. In towns like this, okay, and remember, this is my hometown. In towns like this, the coach probably goes to church with like a third of these kids. The coach is probably a deacon at the church. Religion is so intertwined in the fabric of small, Midwest small towns like this that none of this really surprises me. Because religion is so privileged in these communities, they wouldn't even cross anyone's mind that there might be people out there in the community, in this same community, for whom religion isn't a factor. Or to be inclusive of those peoples and their thoughts. These places are very in-group, out-group, tribal. Back to the letter from the Freedom from Religion Foundation, the news release. The FFRF asked the school district to commence an immediate investigation and take appropriate action to ensure that in the future, Okaw Valley High School coaches wouldn't pray with students during district athletic events. Okaw Valley officials paid heed to FFRF and promised corrective action. Quote, we have shared your concern with the athletic director, Stotter wrote back. We reinforced that this type of activity could be viewed as an endorsement of religion in violation of the United States Constitution. The athletic director was further directed to share this information with the coaching staff. We appreciate your concern and believe this matter is resolved. The FFRF is appreciative that the school district acted on the constitutional violation after the state church watchdog alerted officials. Okay? And Jamie, you'll probably have more to say about this. Jamie has said and shows favoritism to the kids he goes with. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go to my church, you bet. Mm-hmm. The coaches are probably pitching a fit about it. I'm sure they are. Mm. So here's the thing. If you're not completely wrapped up in what these small towns are like yet, the Okaw Valley athletic director is Brooks Inman. Brooks was like 5 years apart from me in school. I know Brooks. Brooks was like 5 years removed from me. His father coached in Bethany from 1979, the year of my birth, to 1987, which I would call the glory days of Bethany sports. Because what happened after like the late 80s, we stopped having a football team. I mean, basketball's still a thing, but like, so here's the thing that happened in this small town, right? Before we decided to create this Okaw Valley School District and combine two town schools together, we discovered that there was not enough interest in football. There weren't enough guys to put a football team together. And so, in order to have a football team, we had to put together a co-op with a neighboring town. Turns out that neighboring town was Sullivan, Illinois, which was like the rival to Bethany in the way that small Midwest town rivalries go, right? So Brooks here is a product of an even ruraler community called Elam Springs, known to many in the area as the Harshmanites. You've heard me talk about this place. And it's the Harshmanites because the last name of the people that founded, I guess, are predominantly Harshman. So, I didn't have any Elam kids in my class, directly in my class. I was friends with a lot of them. There were a lot of them in adjacent classes over the years. My sisters, who are 11 and 12 years older than I am, went to school with a lot of their kids. And I'm sure someone from back home will hear this and care to argue, but Elam has long been understood to be a cult.
Mm-hmm.
Dot period at the end of the sentence.
You don't have to hear more than a couple of stories to concur with that.
If you marry in, which they need you to do, I won't go any more than that. You move to their community. They own a ton of businesses in the area. So you're probably pretty set for a decent job. And they have their own church, because of course they do.
Right.
Now, I do have family that married into the community. So, not that I've kept in touch with any of these people, but in that consideration, I will leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
And you are welcome to comment, those of you who would like to comment. But that's to say that, like, this sort of community that Brooks grew up in, and maybe to a lesser extent, the rest of us. But church was like an everyday part of life. So now when you're the athletic director or you're a coach, and religion has been so stitched into the fabric of your existence, right? It's no wonder that you don't think twice about maybe we're doing something that's unconstitutional.
Just a little.
It's the privilege. Finally, the Freedom From Religion Foundation concludes, coaches should be made to realize that they can't misuse their positions of authority to promote a sectarian religious agenda, says FFRF co-president Dan Barker. Practices like participating in prayer circles clearly flout legal principles, and we are pleased we finally made the school district put a stop to this. The pond people. You're right, Aaron. The pond people, the Lakeys. The Harshmanites. I would love to hear, for those of you who are still back home or who have connections back home, what's the buzz been about this thing back in, you know,
right?
Uptown at the coffee shop?
Ooh, maybe, like, who is it? Jamie said she knew Brooks. Maybe she can get us an interview. I'm kidding. No, Jamie, it's Mm-mm. okay.
Yeah, no. Okay. Another update story. Well, this was a story we discussed all the way back in 2016.
Yes.
Okay. So you may recall the tragic story of Ella Grace, 2-year-old daughter of Jonathan Foster, 35-year-old, and Grace Foster, 34. This 2-year-old daughter who died of pneumonia in November of 2016 after experiencing cold-like symptoms that worsened but was never treated due to the family's religious beliefs. The Fosters belong to Faith Tabernacle Congregation in Pennsylvania, which instructs members to avoid doctors and pharmaceutical drugs. Assistant DA Katie Lemon said that Grace Foster had asked their pastor, the child's grandfather, to anoint the sick child the night before, but not another daughter who also had cold-like symptoms, and that her father left for work the next morning to help care for her, left work early, right? So when we talked about this when it originally happened, if I remember this story right, it was like this was the little girl that like had blood coming out of her nose, like
right
towards the end as things were getting really right. bad and nobody did anything and they invited people over to pray over her.
Right. I remember that.
Right. So jurors deliberated for more than 4 hours last Thursday without reaching a verdict and then had to start all over Friday with a new panel after one of the jurors got sick.
Oh, my God.
The new panel reached a verdict after about 2 hours of deliberation. The parents have now been convicted of involuntary manslaughter and face a standard sentencing guideline anywhere from 9 to 16 months with a potential maximum of 10 years in prison. After they were charged, the Fosters gave up custody of 6 other children ranging in age from 1 to 12 years old. Authorities said the children will be kept together and placed in the care of a family that will ensure that they receive proper medical care. If you're wondering about the pastor's involvement, Grandpa Pastor, for espousing dangerous religious beliefs that doctors and medicine should be avoided at all costs in favor of God's healing, a judge dismissed a case against the pastor for failure to report suspected abuse back in December. Also tonight in the This Is Why We Fight Against Magical Thinking, 25-year-old Georgia mother Bakari Warren was driving northbound on Peachtree Industrial Boulevard when she crossed into the southbound lanes and then intentionally crashed her SUV into a pole. She told officers after the crash that she did it to show her kids, 7 and 5 years old, that if they believe, yes, God would protect them. Sitting in the squad car, the children explained.
Oh.
Her eyes was closed and she was saying blah, blah, blah. I love God.
Were you on the wrong side of the road or on the right side of the road?
The wrong side.
You were on the wrong side.
So we would have got hit anyway. He was actually telling us to believe in God so nothing would happen to us. And dying is not a part of your life. Don't never believe that. The only thing that's a part of your life is life.
Right? I don't like this because you can't see Becca's face.
Yeah, I'm really, really... probably a good thing you can't see my face right now.
Warren was held on a $22,000 bond and charged with 2 counts of child cruelty. The children are now with their grandparents.
Well, wait a minute now. Because are their grandparents the parents crazy of this woman who taught
that
her how
I
to...
don't know. That
like,
I don't
that
know.
Would be my first concern. Because you know what? This religious crap is a vicious cycle.
Right.
And it comes from somewhere. And most of the time, it comes from who brought you up.
Right. The best stories start with...
a bottle of rum. And
Come on, we're going to bring it up now.
Okay. Like
we've hit the low point. Now we're climbing back up.
Florida man.
A Florida man.
Good. Thank you, Jesus.
A Florida man's plan to win back the girl he cheated on has won him the title of convicted felon and very nearly a Darwin Award. 26-year-old Ivan Filguera
Whatever. Sure.
And his girlfriend broke up in January after he cheated on her, and he's been trying to get her back ever since.
Of course he has.
Even showing up at her workplace, begging and crying. Phil Guerra stepped up his efforts on March 11th, calling the woman at her homestead home, saying, homestead's a town in Florida, saying that he was going to shoot himself in the thigh to prove his love to her, adding that he knew he could hit an artery and may bleed out. The ex says she then heard a gunshot and the man screaming that he needed a paramedic. When officers arrived at the scene, they found him sitting in the passenger seat of a silver Lexus with a gunshot wound to his left thigh and an unnamed driver in the vehicle, like, with him. The wound was so severe that he was airlifted to Jackson South Hospital in critical condition. He loves that woman.
Florida doesn't airlift people.
No.
Like, unless it's like
super
critical and I-4 is more than a 4-hour commute. Oh, man.
After surgery, he was Baker-acted and medically treated. As police found multiple firearms and ammunition inside his home, he was then arrested and charged with possession of a weapon by a convicted felon immediately after being discharged Wednesday.
Did she take him back?
No. No word on the...
Are there going to be conjugal visits?
I don't...
Come on. You knew
Victoria,
I had to ask.
Victoria, thank you. I... classy with the mason jar. Yes.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'll take a hit of rum for that. Okay. The second story this week in the Florida Man Files. A Florida woman went out on a limb to save a giant ficus tree in Snell Family Park in Fort Myers by getting married to the tree.
Oh, God. Oh, so wait, this segment is a Florida tree.
Yeah, well, I guess. I don't know who's the Florida person in this one.
I don't know.
While the tree is rooted on city property, some of the 8,000 square foot canopy and root system extends to a neighboring lot, which is for sale. The city's Public Works Department approved the tree's removal, and in February, the Beautification Board discussed spending $13,000 to cut down the tree and replace it with several smaller ones. But when neighbors became aware of the situation, they sprang into action. Phone calls, posters, flyers, and last Saturday, Karen Cooper's waterfront wedding, complete with flowers, music, a tree-decorated wedding cake, and a canine ring bearer named Little Bear. Arborist Rick Joyce gave the tree a full checkup, said it's healthy, and would survive a major pruning. So, the city seems to be changing course on removing the tree, but Cooper isn't celebrating just yet, saying, quote, if they cut down this tree, I'm going to be a widow. I tried to look at the minutes, because the meeting that they held was earlier this week to discuss this. When I went to the website, the meeting minutes weren't available yet, so I don't know how it worked out, but... I have a third story.
Okay, bring it on.
This week, if you've ever been annoyed at the way churches seem to scam people out of their hard-earned money because God is all-powerful but he needs cash, this story is for you. Last Saturday, Vero Beach PD and EMS responded to the Trinity Episcopal Church to find a 34-year-old man with his arm stuck in a money donation drop box. Charles Christopher Hinckley told police he was trying to steal the money for drugs. But wait, there's more.
Of course there is.
Hinckley,
isn't there always?
Who was standing next to an aluminum trash picker, told officers that he works for the church as a maintenance person. He said he used the picker to, quote, grab bags of money, end quote, from the drop box and return home, saying that he just needed the money for a quick fix and was then going to return the rest of the money so no one would notice anything was missing. He also told officers that he had pawned tools and equipment from the church for cash.
Oh, my God.
And also used the company credit card to buy copper and then sell it at different scrap yards. According to Father Rodriguez of Trinity Episcopal Church, there was around $300 in cash and checks in the Dropbox that night.
What the hell?
Yep.
Oh my God. That's too much.
All right. That's it. That's what I have for episode 104 tonight. Thank you for dealing with all of our technical difficulties. And I have no idea how I'm going to put the video together for this one. But I don't know. Tomorrow's another day, right?
Oh, man.
When this episode goes live, we haven't had anybody like participate with a really good Florida Man response. So what we'd like for you to do when we post the episode on Facebook or Twitter, Facebook is Sarah Talk Podcast and Twitter is at Sarah Talk Radio. Follow us on our social media. When we post episode 104, share it with your followers and you get to pick the Florida Man story you like best or that's the funniest or the thank you, whatever you think about it. You can make up a goofy headline for it. You can just tell us why you like to pick that story. And we will find someone that does that, that we like. We'll pick a winner who will get our everlasting love and gratitude. And I'm working on maybe some giveaways to do with that too.
Mm-hmm.
So, do that for us. That would be fantastic. Next week, I still have to get the final confirmation, but we have currently scheduled Bob Doyle to be in studio next week. Bob Doyle is running for a seat here in the Florida legislature.
Crap, I gotta go clean the house. See y'all.
Bob Doyle is a former judge, and so he has some interesting insight into mostly in family court,
mm-hmm.
where he spent his time. But so that leads, you know, he has a lot of insight into, the system.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about that on the show. Like,
mm-hmm.
so it'll be interesting to get his perspective on some of those things.
He seems like a fun down to earth guy too. So I'm sure we'll have a good time.
He's really personable. So we're looking forward to that. The following week, I have tentatively lined up the conversation about recovery programs. We have the director of the Life Ring program lined up to come on and talk about their program and what they do. It's a secular alternative
mm-hmm.
to the higher power component that a lot of different recovery programs require. So that will be in a couple of weeks. If you have any ideas for show topics, things you want us to talk about, people you want us to interview, let us know. Producer at saratalk.com. You can call, leave us a message. 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. Let us know what you think. Post it on our Facebook and Twitter and all of that great stuff. Now, remember, tomorrow is Easter Sunday and April Fool's Day. So it's like the perfect combination, right? Because like, Jesus died for your sins. April Fools, he didn't die. He's alive. He's in heaven. He's with his dad. He's cool. He's good. JK. Well, some sacrifice, right?
Listen, all I know is I got a bunch of grapes wrapped up like Cadbury eggs to hide. And I've got chocolate bunnies filled with broccoli. And
oh, you didn't pick a story. Pick your favorite story.
We
got the guy who cheated on his girlfriend, shot himself in the leg.
Let me break this down for you.
Girl that married a tree.
The mom with her kids who crashed her car intentionally, telling them that, yes. you know, and then they're like, oh, well, yeah, we're on the wrong side of the road. And it didn't matter. Seriously. No. Those poor kids. That makes me angry, so that doesn't win.
No, that wasn't a Florida Man story.
That wasn't a Florida Man story?
No, I specifically didn't include it in the Florida Man.
Then what was the... I'm so confused then. I thought that was the beginning of the Florida...
And I'm the one that's been drinking tonight.
Wow.
You had the guy who shot himself in the leg.
The guy who shot himself.
To try to get his girl back. You have the tree hugger. And you have the guy who was stealing cash out of the church.
You know what happened? I was so mad about that mom with the kids in the car.
You weren't paying attention to me.
That I wasn't paying attention to you. I'm sorry.
You see, this is what happens. Nobody listens to me.
Listen.
Look, I have the
You have like eight people listening to you right now.
I have the full focus right now. I got a captive audience.
I think the tree girl kind of takes the cake. I mean, the guy, I don't know.
A tree decorated cake?
I think the guy shooting himself in the genitals.
No. It was his thigh. Come on.
But
now.
I mean, that's a near miss. You don't aim a gun anywhere in that area if you're trying to impress a girl, because that is not the way to get attention down there.
Right.
Not the kind of attention you want anyway. Unless the girl's your nurse. Which obviously that wasn't the case because they'd airlift him.
I'm going to reserve judgment. I will post this to the Facebook group and I will vote in the Facebook group and you guys can see what I thought there.
There you go.
And that is go to Facebook and type in Sarah Talk Podcast Listeners. That's where you want to be. That's where all the cool stuff happens. All the conversations about the show. Yeah. Behind the scenes stuff. That's where you want to be. Okay. That is it for episode 104. We'll do this again next week. Maybe. If I can get the feed. The computer is still on getting Windows ready. Jesus Christ. See you next week. 8 p.m. Eastern. Facebook Live if
Michael
I can get it to work.
Michael came in at the very last minute.
We love you.
Love you too, Michael.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/Sarah Talk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/Sarah Talk Radio and on Twitter @Sarah Talk Radio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.